This podcast was recorded Thursday, September 15th at 11:16 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear it.
Yeah, like Americans will decide, you know, that whole British monarchy thing is worth another shot.
They really are infatuated with this. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's kind of cool to watch, but 10 days? That's a long time.
Let's talk American politics. This is Snolly Goster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and those politicians or shrewd snollygosters who seek your vote. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up on the podcast, a surprise ruling puts Ohio's six-week abortion ban on hold.
But first, the U.S. Senate race here in Ohio, very close. The governor's race, not as close. That's according to our latest poll.
Yeah, this poll was done by the Suffolk University and sponsored by the USA Today Ohio Network. It shows that Tim Ryan and J.D. Vance are tied in the race to replace Rob Portman. Technically, the Democrat Ryan has a one-point lead, 47% to 46% over the Republican J.D. Vance. But you know that poll has the whole margin of error thing.
Some things to break out from the poll. Tim Ryan's unfavorable rating is 27%. J.D. Vance is 43%. Negative ads in the primary and those run by Tim Ryan may have had an effect there.
Yeah, you have to think that all those ads that Tim Ryan ran early on that were very positive about him kept his unfavorable rating low. And all of those negative ads that J.D. Vance's primary opponents ran against him and now that Tim Ryan is running against him is affecting his favorable rating. So TV ads matter.
There are so many ads out there. I feel like we say this every late summer going into fall, but my God, I was watching the Ohio State game on Saturday, and I was streaming. It was only Vance and Ryan ads.
Yeah.
That's all they did. They would break for 30 seconds. It would be 15 seconds of Tim Ryan, 15 seconds of J.D. Vance, then return to football. That was it.
You know who that's good news for? That's good news for Tim Ryan. That shows that the race is close and there's national money coming in and he's able to pay for these ads. Because the concern was he was spending too much money on ads early on in the race. Well,
the well is not dried up.
We're not early anymore. And there apparently is still money out there to
I was just, my friends and I were just texting laughing about it. Because again, this always happens. We're always like, oh my God, I can't believe all the ads. But it was remarkable. But no, it is a very close race. It's a race being followed nationally. It's been the subject of several national media reports. It was on Point here on WOSU on stations around Ohio this week, and observers are watching it closely, and they're trying to wring every bit of news and analogy they can out of it. Vance will be with Donald Trump in Northeast Ohio in Youngstown. Youngstown does sort of seem to be ground zero for this race.
It is. I think that's where this race is being fought. If, you know, that's assuming that Tim Ryan can get his normal base out and assuming that J.D. Vance can get his base out in the, you know, J.D. Vance more the rural areas, Tim Ryan the urban areas. And it's places like Youngstown where Democrats have lost ground in recent cycles where this race could be decided. Oddly enough, the Trump rally is at the same time as the OSU football game.
Yes.
Not that we were going to have live TV coverage of Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, but Vance is taking some heat, a little bit of heat, saying he's so sure.
Tongue-in-cheek. I don't think anybody's really serious about it. I hope not, anyway.
I don't know. You know how Buckeye fans are, you know?
Unhinged?
Yeah, well,
crazy.
You don't schedule anything when a Buckeye game is.
It's the best time to go grocery shopping.
It is. I mean,
because no one's there.
You don't schedule anything when the Buckeyes are playing. Granted, they're only playing but they're only playing Toledo. So it's not a huge marquee game.
Yeah.
It's Youngstown. It's not in Columbus.
This should be like my one friend who got married in an Ohio State football game Saturday. You put a TV there. There's got to be a big screen there with the Buckeye game on it, right?
Oh, I'm sure there will be.
There's got to be.
Yeah.
I mean, that might take some finagling with TV rights.
And there'll be a
rights,
couple OHIO chants, I'm sure.
Yeah, everyone will be in their garb.
I wonder how they picked that time. Was that the only time Donald Trump was available? Did they not care that it was an OSU game? Did they not know there was an OSU game? Again, it really doesn't matter. I don't think people who are going to that rally are huge OSU fans enough where they would have to choose between OSU Toledo and Donald Trump.
Turning now to the race for governor, as we said, it is not close. Mike DeWine has a 15-point lead, according to this same Suffolk University poll, 54-39% over Dayton Mayor Nan Whaley. That's about where the Democrat has been throughout the race, as she just struggles to raise enough money and to gain traction in the race.
You know, she has openings. If you look more deeply into this poll, 68% of Ohioans oppose that heartbeat law, the anti-abortion law that Governor DeWine signed. 68% of those surveyed say the state is corrupt. They say the state is either extremely, very, or somewhat corrupt. That's a big number. 76% say economic conditions are fair or poor. 21% say they're excellent. So the economy, corruption, and abortion, three issues you would think that Mike DeWine would be vulnerable on, and he's not, because he has a 52% approval rating.
Yeah, public opinion on abortion does not really follow directly. It's not a one-to-one correlation on the makeup of the state. There's a lot of Republicans, probably most Republicans, who believe abortion should be legal in some cases. Mm-hmm. And I don't think most voters blame Mike DeWine for the economy. I mean, it's a nationwide economic downturn. So I think he has a little more deniability here than I think most.
They blame Ted Strickland in 2010.
Yeah, there was a Democratic president at the time, too.
Yeah.
So there was a little more correlation between the Democratic Party.
The Obama Kasich recovery.
Yeah.
So you could say this is the Biden DeWine
downturn,
near recession.
Yeah, you could. I don't think that's going to stick with voters, really. I don't.
No, it's amazing. He doesn't really take. I mean, he has some good economic news. He has the Intel factory announcement and mm-hmm. plans, and the groundbreaking was last week, and Joe Biden was here for that, and Mike DeWine was here for that. So he has good economic news.
Might be a big Honda plant coming as well, a Honda battery plant. Mm-hmm.
But inflation is high in Ohio.
It is.
Gas prices are coming down, but they have been
the
high.
The rent's
in Ohio.
Too damn high.
Yeah. Housing prices are high. But Mike DeWine really is not feeling the effects of that right now. And, you know what, I think there's a lot of goodwill among independents and even moderate Democrats, moderate Republicans about how he handled COVID. He takes a lot of heat from the right on that. But I think that year, he built up a lot of goodwill. His favorability rating went way up. There has to be some of that goodwill left over. Plus, the Democrats just cannot get their stuff together.
They really don't seem like a cohesive party, do they?
I mean, Tim Ryan is running a good campaign, but Nan Whaley just can't gain traction. She's an appealing candidate, mayor of the city of Dayton. She's run statewide before.
Nobody knows her.
Why can't she? Yeah, 28% of voters say they never heard of her. They'd never heard of her.
Nearly a third.
That's not a good position to be in on September 15th.
Nearly a third of voters don't know a major party candidate for governor. They know nothing about her.
It seems like the Democrats' strategy in the governor's race was to pray for another big development in the nuclear bailout scandal, another bombshell to drop. And it hasn't dropped, and it's likely not going to drop now.
We're 2 months away.
Well, that's when the feds sort of cool
back
their heels
off, yeah.
They don't do anything, 60 days away from an election.
There could be developments in Mar-a-Lago that could be tied to the Republicans at large. We're a ways off, but yeah, DeWine certainly seems like he's coasting to re-election.
Yeah. And now the question is, does he debate Nan Whaley?
No.
He hasn't committed.
No, why would he? I wouldn't.
Well, politically.
Politically, yeah, of course.
But he's.
I'm not talking about.
He's got a 15-point lead.
I'm not talking about morally. Morally,
I mean, he could have a huge
should.
Gaffe and lose, what, 5 points? I don't think he
has. Yeah, no, I wouldn't.
I would do one debate.
I think everyone is telling him not to debate her.
But I would do one debate just to quiet the critics. Don't give him anything to criticize you for. He'll do fine.
Yeah, he's savvy. He's
good.
He's very experienced. Yeah, but yeah. I don't think there's anything to gain from it.
Not politically, no.
No. Anyway, we'll be right back.
You're listening to a WOSU Public Media podcast. Everything you hear is funded by listeners like you. Become a member of WOSU Public Media today and support digital content like Snolly Goster and the All Sides with Ann Fisher podcast. Make a gift at WOSU.org.
Welcome back to Snolly Goster from WOSU Public Media. Abortion up until the point of fetal viability, the old Roe versus Wade standard, is legal in Ohio at least temporarily. That's thanks to a ruling from a Hamilton County judge.
Yes, Common Pleas Court Judge Christian Jenkins ruled this week the Ohio Constitution protects Ohioans' right to an abortion, and the Democrat put a hold on Ohio's ban on abortions after fetal cardiac activity is detected, which is as early as 6 weeks into a pregnancy.
Jenkins wrote, quote, "No great stretch is required to find that Ohio law recognizes a fundamental right to privacy, procreation, bodily integrity, and freedom of choice in healthcare decision making."
So the ruling allows abortion clinics in Ohio to perform abortions on women up to 20 weeks into their pregnancies. Supporters of abortion rights, including the ACLU and Planned Parenthood, said they are grateful that, for now, Ohioans can once again widely access abortion care in their own state, but they say this is just the first step.
Even though this is just a 14-day ruling, Planned Parenthood of Greater Ohio's Lena Molinos says they are expanding services and are now providing abortions up to 20 weeks.
Since it is only for 14 days, we do want to ensure that we are maximizing access for folks across the state and to avoid having, you know, to travel across state lines just to obtain their health care. So our teams are working very quickly to pivot with the new ruling that came out.
Ohio Right to Life issued a statement saying, quote, "We are more than confident that the heartbeat law will go back into effect relatively soon. Ohio will become abortion-free regardless what this local judge ruled today," end quote.
Kind of a surprise. You know, the Ohio Supreme Court has been sitting on this. They refused to immediately stop the heartbeat law from going into effect right after the Dobbs decision, but they haven't gone any farther. And abortion rights opponents criticized rights supporters for going directly to the Ohio Supreme Court. They said it has to go through the lower courts. Okay, they went through the lower courts. Now Ohio Right to Life is criticizing abortion rights supporters for judge shopping.
Forum shopping.
So they said you have to go to the lower court. They went to a lower court. They got the ruling they wanted. Now they're getting criticized for that. Beside the point, the basis for this ruling
is
the constitutional amendment pushed by Republicans who wanted to block parts of Obamacare. This amendment was put on the ballot by Republican lawmakers and approved by voters. It says, "No federal, state, or local law or rule shall prohibit the purchase or sale of health care or health insurance." It goes on to say, "No federal, state, or local law or rule shall impose a penalty or fine for the sale or purchase of health care or health insurance."
The rare self-owned by Ohio Republicans, the judge ruled the amendment contains a direct recognition of the fundamental nature of the right to freedom in health care decisions. Opponents argue the amendment does not preclude the state from regulating health care.
We have to say this is one judge's opinion.
Right.
The judge is a Democrat from Cincinnati. So it's just one step in this process. It's a tenuous decision. The judge indicates that abortion was legal when this law was passed and signed. It was passed and signed into law before the Dobbs decision, and that's why he says it is likely unconstitutional. So that leads to the question, what happens if lawmakers pass another law after the Dobbs decision? Will that be constitutional? We don't know.
This likely will end up before the Ohio Supreme Court. Right now, it's in Republicans' hands with the Chief Justice Maureen O'Connor providing the swing vote. So that is the next forum, it looks like.
Yeah, it'll go probably to an appeals court next.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And this is only in effect for 14 days, so there is another step in the not-too-distant future. But yeah, this eventually, I think, has to go to the Ohio Supreme Court. They'll eventually have it. How quickly really is a huge thing, because right now the court, as you said, is in Republican hands with Maureen O'Connor being a swing vote, sometimes voting with the Democrats. After January, there will be at least one new justice who will replace whichever of the two justices wins O'Connor's chief seat. And there are, of course, two other races. Democrats could gain a majority on this court after January 1st or 2nd, whenever they get sworn in.
Yeah, this is an extremely strange situation. It's a developing situation. Let's play it out here. The Supreme Court says this amendment does not apply. Lawmakers keep this law or pass a stronger one, and abortion is largely illegal in Ohio. That's one possibility.
That's how most people thought the state was heading. Let's play it out the other way. The Supreme Court says the amendment does apply, and it says you cannot ban abortion in Ohio. Then it would take another constitutional amendment to change that. That means a ballot issue. That means what happened in Kansas happens in Ohio. That's if it plays out that way. We don't know, it is a tenuous decision. But if you look at that polling from the USA Today Ohio Network, 69% of Ohioans oppose the heartbeat law. 84% of Ohioans support exceptions for rape and incest. And 61% support allowing children under the age of 15 to have an abortion. Clear majority, sometimes very clear majorities there, are further to the left, further towards the center than the current legislature and governor.
You know, we've been saying for years that this was going to open up a Pandora's box if Roe was ever overturned. Republicans would have to go on defense after being on offense for years. And it's much harder to be the starting quarterback than the backup quarterback. And so they're finding this out now. I think they welcome this. I think they would argue this is a first world problem, right? This is part of the problem with success. You have to defend that success. And so they have their work cut out for them, it looks like, based on polling numbers and based on, you know, what could happen. You never know, but what could happen with the Ohio Supreme Court. And who knows? Like you said, this is only a 14-day ruling.
Yeah, there's still a lot of nuance to this issue. If you look at the question that they asked, that 68% oppose the heartbeat law, the text of the question is, Ohio lawmakers are considering a ban on abortion after cardiac activity is detected, usually around 6 weeks. There would be an exception for the life of the mother and no exceptions for rape or incest. Do you support this ban? Well, that could be somebody who supports the 6-week ban but thinks there should be an exception for rape or incest. They would say, I oppose it here. So there's a lot of nuance in here. People might oppose a ban that might support a ban that stops at 12 weeks. It's going to play out. And I don't know how long it takes, but this eventually will be settled, I truly believe, by the voters at some point. Whether it's settled then, I don't know, who knows. But it will come before
politically,
voters
legally settled.
Fairly soon.
Yeah, and then there'll be another constitutional amendment, like in Kansas, like...
Well, Kansas, they said, we're not going to change it. We have one that protects abortion rights, and we're not going to change it.
Right. I was saying that one that protects abortion rights was passed some time ago, and then they just tried to pass this new one. Yeah. So even if it does get settled, right, voters could be back 20 years after that. Anyway.
Snollygosh of the week. Do we have one this week?
No, we don't.
I know. Ron DeSantis sending migrants to Martha's Vineyard is pretty good.
That is pretty good. Yeah. That's pretty funny. It's crude. It's pretty shrewd, but
I just came back from Cape Cod. Martha's Vineyard is wonderful this time of year. So good for the migrants.
Yeah, you know? Right. Seriously, like if they are going to a lovely vacation destination, they've had such a rough road.
Yeah.
People who are in this country, even if they're here illegally, whatever. I mean, being a basic human, you should say that if they can get a glass of wine and a charcuterie board, and just sit there on the Cape. I'm all for that.
They're still being used as
of course
pawns.
They are. It's really gross.
This,
it is gross.
In this issue we just cannot solve. So maybe token Snollygosh of the week to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
Congrats, Ron. I think it's Ron's first award. I'm not sure.
No, I bet he's had another one.
It's been a while. If you have a suggestion for next week, you can email it to us at snollygoster@wosu.org. Also, be sure to leave us a good review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcast. Until next week, for our audio producer, Eric French, and our web producer, Michael DeBonis, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.